come back. We're going to now go right back into Lynn Kettleson, because I think this has been such great content for me. And I, you know, this is, show is, of course, for healthcare professionals. But certainly, you know, if I'm a patient or a family member and I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, well, I hope my hospital does this. I hope this is how it works with me. I was recently myself in an emergency department, and it was amazing, because I will tell you that they're not a partner of ours. It was when I was on a vacation, and I was in an emergency room, and it was amazing how I was left there. And I'd hit the call light, and it was hard to get someone in, and people would walk by and almost not look in, because I think they were afraid that I might call them in and want something. And it was sort of an incredible experience. And I think when you've been on, all of our, many of our listeners have been on both sides of healthcare, they realize how much this will improve clinical outcome. I thought you said something extremely, what we have found important is that is validation, because periodically we'll hear from an organization, particularly a organization that is trying to do this on their own. A cute story the other day, I was talking to an organization that has a lot of problems, and I saw them at a conference. And they said, Quint, I want you to know we implement a lot of the student group tools and techniques, but we put our own twist on it. And I'm thinking that's almost like me getting a prescription from a physician and saying I'm sort of following the treatment plan, but I'm sort of doing my own dosage and my own, you know, technique to it, wondering why I'm not getting the clinical outcome. And, of course, one of our expertise in coaching an organization is to let them know what they can put their own twist on. Like you said, Lynn, some people add more P's. I know Memorial Healthcare System in Hollywood, Florida really puts and talks about safety with the patient at great length. I know organizations that part of hourly rounding is to walk in and show them how they're washing their hands prior to doing anything and explaining once again their commitment to safety and infection. So I think it's, you know, what can you put your own twist in and what can't? And that's sort of where our coaches step in. But I think this technique that we're talking about, a validation, because we'll get a phone call or an email at Quint at Studer Group. I ask Quint, and they'll say, Quint, we've been hourly rounding, and, gee, we're not seeing the results that the research showed it did. And then I'll say, well, are you making sure that you're doing it? And she said, yeah, everybody says they are. Talk about validation, because I think that's so crucial.
I'd be happy to. And there's actually, I think, one of the issues that makes this the hardest for nurse leaders is understanding how comprehensive this issue of validation is and how comprehensive the systems need to be built in order to have a good validation system. So the first one is really the nurse leader rounds on patients, as we talked about earlier. And that's the nurse leader who's rounding on every patient every day with just a couple of questions designed to test whether what we've asked the staff to implement is actually happening and then having the impact we would expect it to have from the patient's perspective. So if I'm the nurse leader and I'm validating that my staff's hourly rounds are being done, I might ask the patients when I'm rounding, Mr. Johnson is part very good care. We round on our patients every hour during the day and every 2 hours during the night. In the last 24 hours, has that been your experience? So then I'm just looking to see if the patient is telling me yes. I'm going to say, oh, great, glad to hear that. Tell me a little bit about what that's, you know, has that been helpful for you and what value do you see in that? So I get that impact from the patient. Then I might follow up with a question, say, Mr. Johnson, as part of those rounds, we're obviously focusing a lot on pain management. In the last 24 hours, have you needed to use your colleague to request pain medication? So I get a real good sense of not only then are the rounds happening, but are they having the impact that they're expected to have from the patient. So those rounds, those nurse leader rounds on patients, become a really important validation system.
And Lynn, for our listeners too, I think this is me. If I know that my boss is asking these questions, I'm probably more likely to align my behavior to what my leader is doing. And if, again, I think it's important for the leaders to see this as not a check on you, but a what I call a quality of care review. I know Faye Sullivan, one of our coaches, and I think all our coaches now, when they're teaching rounding, one of the questions they ask to a leader when they're done rounding on patients is, what did you learn about the quality of care provided to that patient? Because, you know, we're not trying to move a score here. We're really trying to improve patient care, which will lead to better perception of care on HCAPs and things like that. So I think what you just talked about is so good, because it really provides that leader what they're there to do, which is to be a preceptor, a mentor, a coach, and at times to talk about, you know, this is an important consequence. You know, if somebody wasn't given medication out, I imagine that would be a pretty serious consequence. Well, if we're not doing things that reduce infections and reduce falls, even though it might not be what we call a medication, it's a behavioral medication, which also improves clinical outcomes. And I think once leaders see it that way, and nurses see it that way, and other caregivers that go into rooms see it that way, we get better performance and better outcomes. So the leader validates via verbalization, confirmation. Do the nurses do any documentation that they've been in there every hour, and how does that work?
Absolutely. The last, as you heard, the last of the eight behaviors is documenting the round. And so it is important to have logs. The logs are kept in the patient's room with the, in view of the patient and the family, because that, in essence, creates the promise. And then the staff need to document the rounds. And the important component of that is it reinforces what is fundamental to a nurse, which is an if it's not documented, it's not done philosophy. And so that allows us also to ensure that the promise is there, we've followed up on the promise, and we can do some compliance data, which, as we've talked about before, creating data and facts becomes important to telling the story overall. So those logs become a very important part of that validation follow-up system as well.
I think, too, it helps us with process improvement. You know, I think there's a three-legged stool in healthcare. One is, do the people, the staff, and when I consider staff, that's leaders, that's everyone, have the passion or the will to do it. The second component is, do they have the skill or the ability to do it? And the third component, which is just as important, is, do we have the tools, techniques, or I would umbrella that under the processes to do it? I know in your work, for example, at St. David's in Austin, which is, again, one of the great healthcare systems, I think one of the best rated in their system for patient perception of care, it allows you to look at your HCAPS data and compare it, again, not just to one who use a particular vendor, but organizations across the country. But you can sort of look at rounding and see if the comment from the patient on the HCAPS is, I was listened to and my answered questions were answered, you know they're doing a good job. If people didn't understand the side effects of their medication as well, which leads to readmissions, which we know that we can, if people use our techniques, they reduce readmissions. I'm sort of getting a kick out of everybody looking for how to reduce readmissions. Pretty much the how's out there. It's the executing it. It's just important. But tell us some, because I think that's one of the neat things that you're seeing that your work at St. David's, which I was really impressed with, is the fact that some of the things that the nurses there are doing to make sure that people understand the side effects of their medication, which might not tie into hourly rounding, but it sort of still ties into those handoffs and the collaboration and using validation. So you can use validation, whether it be hourly rounding, bedside shift report. Tell us some of the things that you're seeing that you believe are, you know, things that could improve the clinical care by using this data.
Sure. Well, one of the tactics that we've put in place there, which does connect a little bit to hourly rounding, is bedside shift report. Bedside shift report is a phenomenal tool because it provides a gap of time. It actually is just a specialized kind of hourly rounded shift change. But bedside shift report alludes to the fact that the two nurses are actually in the room having a conversation with the patient at shift change in order to report off to the oncoming nurse. What is important to understand is in a topic like HCAPS, where we've got this issue of medication, new medications and their side effects, is you use this framework to build into the opportunity to, again, check with the patient to be sure we're on track with getting that information to them. So it's not unusual at all that patients will be put on new medications, and we need to be very good at explaining to them the side effects of those medications. The way we use bedside shift report to reinforce that is the science of bedside shift report is giving report in the room. The art of bedside shift report is including the patient in the conversation. So as it relates to new medications and the side effects, if I am the off-going nurse, instead of having a conversation with the oncoming nurse and just telling them this is the medication the doctor ordered and these are the things that I told the patient I would be looking for, I instead talk to the patient and I say, now, Mr. Johnson, why don't you tell Sarah, the nurse who's going to be taking care of you next, what the new medication is that you were put on today and what the side effects were that we discussed we would be watching for. So the patient is actually then giving the report to the nurse, but I'm also testing whether he has the knowledge and has retained it of what we've talked about. So being able to include the patient in that conversation reinforces, A, that they're getting good communication, B, that they're retaining the information and that they know their plan of care. So again, from a satisfaction standpoint, not only are you getting that understanding of what's happening with HCAHPS, but the overall satisfaction of the patient improves as well.
No, I think this is so valuable. In our last 5 minutes here, Lynn, and you've done a marvelous job, and as you know, we all believe how important hourly rounding is and bedside shift report is, but I think those fundamental steps like you talked about is connecting and explaining the why. When people ask me, and I call us Studer Group 210 because we've learned so many things, when people ask me about what I've learned, what we've learned in our last 10 years, I believe it's really spending a lot of time explaining the why. That sometimes we get into, like you said, the what and the how, but we don't know the why. When I was in that conference, I said, the nurses said we, you know, have to round every hour. And I gave them the research. And then I asked them if they've ever been into a room and found a patient laying on the floor. And, of course, we've all been there. We've been in healthcare very long, and it's just a terrible feel. I can see the nurses just get so, you know, exhausted emotionally, just feeling so that they let that patient down or something happened where the patient fell. And of course, then we send them to imaging, which causes not only expenses, but then the family wants a sitter, which adds to expenses, and also a sort of a distrust or a high anxiety. And then restraints. I think when hourly rounding, their use of restraints can go down remarkably. And when I got done talking to them, the nurses said to me, you know, gee, if it was explained like that, it would have been better. So I think that explanation becomes such a key. As you look over this, and no one has more experience in this probably in the country than you, and of course now all our coaches are extremely well trained in this, we go into our organization. In the last couple minutes, if you had to tell the listeners a few lessons you've learned or just a few tips that you want them to walk away from the show with, what would those be?
Well, I think the first one is got to be that the nurse leader has to be prepared for implementation of this, and understanding that it's not one of those things you're going to do in 15 minutes at a staff meeting and just tell them that's it and think that, you know, 2 months later you're going to have phenomenal results. This is a pretty substantial implementation, so you've got to be prepared for that and be ready to dedicate the time from your own calendar to doing the validation, to doing that reinforcement, both with the reward and recognition and the coaching and counseling. So I think lesson learned number one is the nurse leader has to be very hands-on in this process. I think another one of the lessons learned is, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, Quint, about, I don't know, we might call it tight, loose, tight. What are the things within this implementation that you can be loose about and give some flexibility for? For example, the format of the logs is something that it doesn't matter what those look like. You can have the staff create the log and put on the log what they think is important, but that it has to log, we've got to be tight about because we need that validation system. That's the third thing, is a lot of times nurses are very opposed to having one more place to put their initials, and they want to give up those logs really fast. But the reality is the logs and the accountability system have to be perpetual. I've been doing this now. It was 2006 we published the study, and we're going into 2010, so we're about 4 years into that, and I've not seen an organization yet be successful without having that log system in place. So you just have to have that continual reminder, just like we log our medications that we give. We chart on patients for treatments and procedures. that's just the system that's built. We need to follow that system. So I would say those are probably the three biggest ones.
Well, Lynn, as we wrap up here, we're going to go into the Calling by Alex Call and Lisa Carey from their CD Passion Purpose, which talks a little bit about Texas. The whole entire song's about many people in healthcare have had a calling. They've brought into a field because they've, just always wanted to be there. And I certainly am glad that you listened to that calling and you became a nurse. I'm so glad you listened to that calling and joined the student group over 8 years ago, because you've been a tremendous addition to our organization in helping hundreds of healthcare providers provide better care. For those of you who want more information on this, please go to our website at www.studergroup.com. If you were to put in search, just put things like hourly rounding, and you can read the research, you can read some of these behavioral tips, and also, again, there's a video that Lynn goes into great detail explaining just how this works. Thank you once again for listening to Talk Zone, and once again, Lynn Kettleson, thank you for being our guest, and now we'll close with the Calling.
I'm not sure when it sparked the fire deep inside that made me want to make a difference, to touch others' lives. Was it when the nurse wiped away my tears, the time the doctor helped me overcome my fears? Like a seed it slowly grew, until I knew the calling was calling. Whisper, the message was unclear, but as time went by, it got so it was all that I could hear. The calling was calling me, and I could hear it. The calling was calling. Passionate spark. The calling was calling me, and I could hear it. The calling was calling me in my soul. The calling was calling. At all. I just thank God I was listening when I got the call. I'm not sure when it sparked the fire deep inside that made me want to make a difference, to touch others' lives.